Welcome to day 251 of my Everyday Bible. This is Rita Langland, your host, and today we are reading from the book of Ezekiel, chapters 37, 38, and 39. And if there is a most famous passage or chapter of the book of Ezekiel, it most probably is the one of the ones we're going to read today. Ezekiel chapter 37, and it is the place where the prophet was given an amazing vision of a valley of dried bones. And this has such a profound message for us today, as well as for the people of Israel of the time and even of today as well. So we'll talk about that after our reading, but we're beginning in the Amplified Bible, Ezekiel chapter 37, and beginning at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about among them, and behold, there were very many human bones in the open valley or plain, and behold, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, you know. Again he said to me, Prophesy to these bones, and say to them, O you dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, Behold, I will cause breath and spirit to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and I will put breath and spirit in you, and you, dry bones, shall live. And you shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a thundering noise, and behold, a shaking, and trembling, and a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, there were sinews upon the bones, and flesh came upon them, and skin covered them over, but there was no breath or spirit in them. Then he said to me, Prophesy to the breath and spirit, son of man, and say to the breath and spirit, Thus says the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath and spirit, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath and spirit came into the bones, and they lived, and they stood up upon their feet, an exceedingly great host. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, Our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are completely cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, O my people, and I will bring you back home to the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, your sovereign ruler, when I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, O my people. And I shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then you shall know, understand, and realize that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, Son of man, take a stick and write on it, for Judah and the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. and join them together into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. And when your people say to you, will you not show us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his associates, and will join it with the stick of Judah and make them one stick, and they shall be one in my hand. When the sticks on which you write shall be in your hand before their eyes, then say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the nations to which they have gone, and will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. And they shall be no longer two nations, neither be divided into two kingdoms any more. They shall not defile themselves any more with their idols and their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions, but I will save them out of all their dwelling places and from all their backslidings in which they have sinned, and I will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David my servant shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my ordinances and heed my statutes and do them. They shall dwell in the land in which your fathers dwelt, that I gave to my servant Jacob, and they shall dwell there, they and their children and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them. And I will give blessings to them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle or dwelling place also shall be with them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Then the nations shall know, understand, and realize that I, the Lord, do set apart and consecrate Israel for holy use when my sanctuary shall be in their midst forever. Chapter 38. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, set your face against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince of Rosh, of Meshech, and of Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince, ruler of Rosh, of Meshech, and of Tubal, and I will turn you back and put hooks into your jaws, and I will bring you forth, and all your army, horses and horsemen, all of them clothed in full armor, a great company with buckler and shield, all of them handling swords, Persia, Cush, and Put, or Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet, Gomer and all his hordes, the house of Togarmah in the uttermost parts of the north and all his hordes, many people are with you. You, Gog, be prepared. Yes, prepare yourself, you and all your companies that are assembled about you, and you be a guard and a commander for them. After many days, you shall be visited and mustered for service. In the latter years, you shall go against the land that is restored from the ravages of the sword, where people are gathered out of many nations upon the mountains of Israel, which had been a continual waste. But its people are brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell securely, all of them. You shall ascend and come like a storm. You shall be like a cloud to cover the land, you and all your hosts and many people with you. Thus says the Lord God, at the same time thoughts shall come into your mind, and you will devise an evil plan. And you will say, I will go up against an open country, the land of unwalled villages, and I will fall upon those who are at rest, who dwell securely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take spoil and prey, to turn your hand upon the desolate places now inhabited, and assail the people gathered out of the nations, who have obtained livestock and goods, who dwell at the center of the earth, Palestine. Sheba and Dedan and the merchants of Tarshish, with all their lion-like cubs or satellite areas, shall say to you, have you come to take spoil? Have you gathered your hosts to take the prey, to carry away silver and gold, to take away livestock and goods, to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy and say to Gog, thus says the Lord God, in that day when my people Israel dwell securely, will you not know it and be aroused? And you will come from your place out of the uttermost parts of the north, you and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great host, a mighty army. And you shall come up against my people Israel like a cloud to cover the land. In the latter days I will bring you against my land, that the nations may know, understand, and realize me, when my holiness shall be vindicated through you, vindicated and honored in your overwhelming destruction, O Gog, before their eyes. Thus says the Lord God, are you he of whom I have spoken in olden times by my servants the prophets of Israel, who prophesied in those days for years that I would bring you, Gog, against them? But in that day when Gog shall come against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, my wrath shall come up into my nostrils. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I said, surely in that day there shall be a great shaking or cosmic catastrophe in the land of Israel, so that the fishes of the sea and the birds of the heavens, the beasts of the field, and all creeping things that creep upon the earth, and all the men that are upon the face of the earth shall tremble and shake at my presence. And the mountains shall be thrown down, and the steep places shall fall, and every wall, natural or artificial, shall fall to the ground. And I will call for a sword against Gog throughout all my mountains, says the Lord God. Every man's sword shall be against his brother over the dividing of booty. And with pestilence and with bloodshed, I will enter into judgment with Gog, and I will rain upon him and upon his hordes and upon the many peoples that are with him torrents of rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I demonstrate my greatness and my holiness, and I will be recognized, understood, and known in the eyes of many nations. Yes, they shall know that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. Chapter 39. And you, son of man, prophesy against Gog. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, chief prince, ruler of Rosh, of Meshech, and of Tubal, and I will turn you about, and will lead you on, and will cause you to come up from the uttermost parts of the north, and will lead you against the mountains of Israel. And I will smite your bow from your left hand, and will cause your arrows to fall out of your right hand. You shall fall dead upon the mountains of Israel, you and all your hosts and the peoples who are with you. I will give you to the ravenous birds of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall in the open field, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God. I will send fire on Magog and upon those who dwell securely in the coastlands, and they shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the sovereign ruler, who calls forth loyalty and obedient service. And I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name any more. And the nations shall know, understand, and realize that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is coming, and it will be done, says the Lord God. That is the day of which I have spoken. And when you, Gog, are no longer, they who dwell in the cities of Israel shall go forth and shall set on fire and burn the battle gear, the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows and the hand spikes or riding whips and the spears, and they shall burn them as fuel for 7 years, so that my people shall take no firewood out of the field or cut down any out of the forest, for they shall make their fires of the weapons. And they shall despoil those who despoiled them and plunder those who plundered them, says the Lord God. And in that day I will give to Gog a place for burial there in Israel, the valley of those who pass through on the east side in front of the Dead Sea, the highway between Syria, Petra, and Egypt, and it will delay and stop those who pass through. And there shall they bury Gog and all his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hamon Gog, the multitude of Gog. For 7 months the house of Israel will be burying them, that they may cleanse the land. Yes, all the people of the land will bury them, and it shall bring them renown in the day that I shall be glorified, says the Lord God. And they shall set apart men to work continually who shall pass through the land, men commissioned to bury, with the help of those who are passing by, those bodies that lie unburied on the face of the ground, in order to cleanse the land. After the end of 7 months, they shall make their search. And when these pass through the land and anyone sees a human bone, he shall set up a marker by it as a sign to the buriers until they have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog, or of Gog's multitude. And Hamona, multitude, shall also be the name of the city of the dead. Thus shall they cleanse the land. And you, son of man, thus says the Lord God, say to the birds of prey of every sort, and every beast of the field, assemble yourselves and come, gather from every side to the sacrificial feast that I am preparing for you, even a great sacrificial feast on the mountains of Israel, at which you may eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, of goats, and of bullocks, all of them fatlings of Bashan, east of the Jordan. And you shall eat fat till you are filled, and drink blood till you are drunk, at the sacrificial feast which I am preparing for you. And you shall be filled at my table, with horses and riders, with mighty men, and with soldiers of every kind, says the Lord God. And I will manifest my honor and glory among the nations, and all the nations shall see my judgment and justice in the punishment which I have executed, and my hand which I have laid on them. So the house of Israel shall know, understand, and realize beyond all question that I am the Lord their God from that day forward. And the nation shall know, understand, and realize positively that the house of Israel went into captivity for their iniquity, because they trespassed against me, and I hid my face from them. So I gave them into the hand of their enemies, and they all fell into captivity, or were slain by the power of the sword. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions, I dealt with them and hid my face from them. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, now will I reverse the captivity of Jacob and have mercy upon the whole house of Israel, and will be jealous for my holy name. They shall forget their shame and self-reproach and all their treachery and unfaithfulness in which they have transgressed against me, when they dwell securely in their land and there is none who makes them afraid. When I have brought them again from the peoples and gathered them out of their enemies' lands, and my justice and holiness are set apart and vindicated through them in the sight of many nations, Then shall they know and understand and realize positively that I am the Lord their God, because I sent them into captivity and exile among the nations and then gathered them to their own land. I will leave none of them remaining among the nations anymore in the latter days. Neither will I hide my face any more than from them, when I have poured out my spirit upon the house of Israel, says the Lord God. This is the end of today's scripture reading. In today's Bible passages, we heard two very distinct messages that were given through the prophet Ezekiel. The first one had to do with this vision that he received from the Lord of the Valley of Dried Bones. And I'm going to return to that in a moment. But then I want to tell you the second part that we heard, which was basically covered from chapters 38 and 39. And it's this essentially apocalyptic vision that he was given that had to do with a great battle that's going to take place on Israel's land, where this evil group, nations, armies that come from the north, we only know they come from the north, come to invade Israel, which at that time in the vision is living peacefully, and they are motivated by greed that they could come and take great loot from this nation by invading it and taking everything that they have. We don't know what specific nation it's a reference to, Gog and Magog. People have debated this for centuries. Theologians, Bible scholars, end time prophets of all sorts have all debated who Gog or Magog represents. I'm not going to get into that debate at all. We simply know that there will be a day when there will be a tremendous battle. The word tells us it's in the last days or the end times. This is going to take place, but God says about that battle that he's going to do something so supernatural that there will be essentially some type of natural disaster or cosmic catastrophe, as it's mentioned here in the Amplified Bible, that will actually completely destroy and devastate the enemy army that comes against Israel. And it'll be so dramatic and so absolutely clear that God was involved and that he did it, that the nations will know that God intervened against this army on behalf of Israel. It literally says, I will demonstrate my greatness and will be known in the eyes of many nations. So God says this final apocalyptic battle that's going to take place on Israel's land will be so clear that God intervened and completely destroyed this enemy army that everyone, surrounding nations, will know God did it. That is all I'm going to say about chapters 38 and 39, because I really want to talk to you about the meaning of chapter 37 and this very fascinating vision of the Valley of Dried Bones. Now, we know that this is a spiritual vision that Ezekiel saw, and God himself interpreted the vision in the 11th through 14th verses, where he says, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are completely cut off. So he's telling that it represents Israel. And we're talking about the nation of Israel. And at that time, the nation of Israel had been divided into two parts. It was Judah and Israel, and they weren't in unity at all, and they were taken into captivity separately. But we know from what we read today that God prophesied he was going to do a magnificent and a miraculous restoration of the nation so that they would be together again. And you heard where the prophet was instructed by God to take a stick, write on it for Judah and the children of Israel, and then take a second stick for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his commandians, put them together so that they become one. And the meaning of it was that when God restored Israel, they would no longer be two nations. They would be one nation. They would never be divided again. And they would never go back into idolatry ever again. So this whole picture of the Valley of Dry Bones very clearly is talking about Israel's future, that God was going to do a miraculous restoration at a time when it seemed like there was no hope that they would ever be a nation again. They'd all been taken captive. The land itself had been destroyed. Jerusalem, the capital, was destroyed. The temple was destroyed. It looked like they would just disappear, like other nations that had been conquered disappeared into history. But God, we know, always keeps his word. So this vision of dry bones is so profound on many levels. One, and primarily for the nation of Israel, we know that God has partially completed the fulfillment of this, because the bones came back together, so to speak. The scattered peoples who were in all these different nations were brought back together, restored to their land, and the nation of Israel actually became a nation, politically speaking, in 1948. And since that time, from all over the world, Jews have returned to live in the land of Israel. And that was prophesied more than 2,000 years before 1948 ever occurred. So 2,000 years plus before Ezekiel prophesied this, and Jeremiah prophesied the restoration return, and other prophets as well. But it was more than 2,000 years. And then in our time, in our lifetimes, in our generation, we've seen Israel become a nation again. The fulfillment of the whole prophecy hasn't come to pass because we haven't seen them serving God, holy, unified, honoring God, not defiling themselves, not having idols anymore. That all has not happened. In the 23rd verse, part of the prophecy was, I will save them out of all their dwelling places and from all their backslidings in which they've sinned, and I will cleanse them. So this hasn't quite happened, because we know there are many people in the land of Israel who don't serve the Lord, who are not honoring God, who don't practice even strict Judaism. They are just non-religious Israelites or Jews. So that this has not all come to pass yet, but it will, because God has begun the process. But what a miracle of miracles the restoration of the nation of Israel is. And it shows you the power of God and the power of his word. So I want to talk to you about the power of God as a restorer, as a miracle worker for your life. Because here in this Valley of Dry Bones, we can find an application for our lives and our situations. Remember the question that God asked Ezekiel right in the beginning of chapter 37. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all, and behold, they were very many in the open valley, and indeed they were very dry. Now listen to the question. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. That was a mysterious question. Can these bones live? They were dry. There was no sign of life anymore. They had been dead a long time. They had no flesh on them anymore. They were just bones. And God asks him this question, can these bones live? Ezekiel, unsure of the answer God was actually looking for, replies with a very safe response. The most safe one he could think of, I'm sure. Oh Lord, you know. He couldn't answer. God told him the meaning of the vision. These bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up and our hope is perished. Then the Lord instructed Ezekiel to do something quite unconventional with all of those human bones. He told him to speak to them. Prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you so that you may come to life. Well, Ezekiel did what he was told, and the results were astounding, shocking. Ezekiel records them this way. He says, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Flesh grew, skin covered them, breath came into them. Then they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. We know that those bones represented Israel's hopeless state because God told us the meaning. They represented Israel, and Israel was in a hopeless condition at that point. They appeared to be, to the natural eyes anyway, in an impossible situation. Captivity in Babylon, destroyed countryside, and they could not recover themselves from such a situation. It wasn't God's will for them to be in captivity. That wasn't God's heart for them. It wasn't His perfect will. Yet it was the reality of their circumstances at that point in time because of their own sinfulness. That's what had brought them to that place. Are you yourself facing an impossible situation? Maybe even as a result of your own sinfulness? It's possible. Does it look hopeless that you can ever recover? It looked hopeless that Israel could recover from being in captivity to other nations. It looked hopeless that these bones that the Lord was showing Ezekiel could ever live. Is it your marriage that looks hopeless and beyond repair? Is it your health? Is it your finances? Or is it some dream of your heart that looks like it will never come to pass? Then I want to suggest to you today that we can learn something from this story. We can learn what God had Ezekiel do in this particular case. He had Ezekiel speak to the bones. He had Ezekiel prophesy. He had him say, oh, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then he instructed him exactly what he wanted him to prophesy to those bones. I believe we can take a lesson from this. God has given us power in the name of Jesus and has given us His Spirit. And He wants us to be like Him in how we handle situations in our lives. God had the prophet speak life over those bones, and he saw the results of speaking life. When he spoke life, the bones came together, sinews grew on them, skin grew over that. Then he spoke to the breath to come into the new bodies that were on the bones, and then he saw the result of that. The breath came in, they came to life, and they became an exceeding great army standing on their feet. It was a profound vision, but it wasn't just a vision. It was instruction on how to deal with things that look dead or impossible or beyond repair. God wants you to speak life to the bones in your circumstances. You may ask, well, what do I speak or how do I prophesy to the bones, to the circumstances, to what looks dead in my life? You need to do exactly what Ezekiel did. You prophesy or you speak the word of the Lord. That is what Ezekiel did. and you speak the word of the Lord to the bones. Now think about this. Why is it that God himself didn't speak to those bones? I believe it is because God's choice is to use people. He is looking for people who will believe his word, act on his word by faith, speak his word by faith, and see results by faith. Then he responds supernaturally. British minister Smith Wigglesworth, one of my favorite heroes in the faith, once said there is something about faith that will cause God to skip over a million people just to get to you. God wants you to speak his word over any dead circumstances in your life. Prophesy, that's what's going to come to pass. I'll give you an example from my own life. Many years ago, I was pregnant with our son, and I was in a situation where I had to speak to the bones, so to speak, in my life. I had experienced multiple miscarriages, a tubal pregnancy, had surgery, and I was warned that my chances for a successful pregnancy were very slim, and we had had no children to that point. I took the word of the Lord and I began to prophesy to the child within me when I found out I was pregnant. And I said it over and over. What did I do? I just took the word of the Lord. I took a scripture from Psalm 118, verse 17. You shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. So I took that word of God, and I began to prophesy that over the child within me. You shall not die but live to declare the works of the Lord. I had to speak life where the doctor was saying death was most likely. I had to do what God's word said. And I tell you, the situation seemed to the natural and to the medical community relatively hopeless, since I had never before successfully carried a child to term. But I was determined by the grace of God to see that child live. And the result for me and my husband was no less rewarding than Ezekiel's. That pregnancy was perfect in every way, without even a single day of morning sickness. And the child that was born is now an adult, has children of his own, and it is a miracle and a blessing and a gift from God. But I tell you, I myself had to take authority in the name of Jesus with the word of God and believe the word of God and speak to the circumstance life instead of death and agree with the word of God. The Lord wants you to know and to understand that he has given you authority. He has given you his word. We walk through this world with power and authority. If you are a born again Christian, you have the word of God. You have the blood of Jesus. You have the name of Jesus. You have the power of the Holy Spirit. And there is no reason that we can't answer yes when God says, "Can these bones live?" over your circumstance. And you can say yes, not, "I don't know, God, you know." We're not going to answer like Ezekiel answered. He didn't know what to answer, but God showed him the right answer. The right answer is, whatever your word says, that's what I can have. And that's what God wants for you in your life. So I just want to say to you that regardless of your hopeless situation, take the word of the Lord that applies to your case, speak it over the dry bones, and watch God intervene on your behalf. God bless you and give you a victorious week.